Thank you, Peter. Thank you for those wonderful songs. Let your glory go forth to the nations. Is that your heart? That's why I'm wearing this shirt, this jacket. It's about the world, isn't it? And I'm celebrating. My wife and I are celebrating this year. It's a special year for us. 50 years ago, my wife went to a 1966 to a summer camp as a pagan and opened her life to Christ, started to follow Jesus. That's 50 years ago. 50 years ago, I took my big step to go from a pig farm to the nations. 50 years ago, 1966. Somehow we met along the way somewhere. And we've been together serving God for about 45 years, right? I'm forgetting. But I wear this jacket because I just got older last week. And when you get over 70, you lose track of where you are and what your name is and all that. And some of you might not know me even anymore because I don't come here on a regular basis because I got a short-term assignment at Fraserlands Church to help them there. But my wife always comes here. But I am Bert. All right, they call me Pastor Bert there. I'm one of the pastors of evangelism. But I wear this jacket. It's also GPS because if I get lost in Vancouver, I know it's right over here. And this morning, Larry wanted to make sure that Mongolia was on the back of my jacket. So Mongolia is there. So it helps me to pray for the nations. Just a quiz this morning before I start. Just a quiz. You get a prize if you win the prize. There's a guy that's quite famous that wears this jacket all the time, speaks around the world, and he carries this big world balloon. He throws it into the crowd and gets people to pray for the nations. And then he started an organization. He was 17 way back, and now he's 77 years old, still preaching 300 times a year around the world, and started an organization that's famous for the ship called Logos. What's his name? Who said that? Huh? Who said that? Bill? No, come on, get your free book. Get your free book, latest book by, that's great. At least somebody knows. There, this is his latest book, just a few months old, More Drops from George River. And then you can pass it on. Thank you. Wow. At the back, we have a table where you can register your name as a visitor, but I also have a few of my prayer letters. If you people in this church have been praying for us and for the Ministry of International Student Ministry for 6 years since I came here 6 years ago, and people have supported us, and every month a group of ladies under Joanne's coordination cooks delicious meals for people at Focus Club, and I met them a couple of weeks ago again. And it's just wonderful to have that partnership of reaching the nations through the international students. And, of course, on the slide there, there's a Thanksgiving dinner coming up. Last week, something like 120, last year, 120 international students for the first time went to Canadian homes representing about 20 churches. And it's only a week away. And if you still really want to be involved in that, to have students in your home for Thanksgiving. There are students that don't know anything about Thanksgiving, have never been in the Canadian home. Many of them have just arrived at UBC, at SFU. I've met some of them. I asked one girl, just arrived from China, how old I was, and she said, you're 50. I said, thank you very much. So we have all these contacts, and this is your opportunity to open your home if God leads you. And they add emails up there, or we have a sheet on the table. You can pick it up, and you have to be pretty quick. We hope that you can get students, because this is their last week of organizing that. So in the message this morning, I'm talking about God's strategy of reaching the world from Acts chapter 8, verses 1 to 8, and then 25 to 40. Let's look at Acts chapter 8 this morning. Paul was there giving approval to his death, And on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him, but Paul began to destroy the church, going from house to house. He dragged off men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many. Many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Going down to verse 26, then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. The man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. And Philip ran to that chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip said. How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come and sit with him. And the eunuch was reading this passage of scripture from Isaiah 53. And then verse 34, the eunuch asked Philip, tell me, who is this prophet talking about, himself or someone else? And then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And as they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he ordered the chariot to stop. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. God's strategy of reaching the world starts with Acts chapter 1, where in verse 8, he says that when you have received power, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. I work with international students, as some of you know, and students come to our club programs, and we ask them to introduce themselves. And one day, two students from China introduced themselves, and one said, I am so-and-so from China, and I'm here to get rich. And one student from China, another one, said, I've just come from China, from Shanghai. I'm Sean, and I've come here to find God. The second one did find God, became one of our student leaders, and is living today in Shanghai following Jesus. I don't know what happened to the other one. God is here this morning. And if he were to introduce himself, he would say, I am God, and I've given you my message. It's found in the Bible. It's the good news. Everyone needs it, and you can get it for free. I have a plan, a strategy that everyone in the world can hear it from every tribe and nation. But to accomplish my strategy, you must be part of it. All of you must be part of it. Please make this strategy your priority. This message comes from God. What is that strategy? It's found in the book of Acts. And today I can say with all my heart that I want to be part of God's plan to reach the world. I've sought to be part of that plan since 1966. 50 years ago, I left my comfort zone, a nice farm, a great family, and gave up my own plan to advance God's plan, God's kingdom around the world. This morning, we desperately need that strategy because it's God's strategy. It works. And 16 years ago, I realized that part of fulfilling that strategy was to reach the international students. At UBC, you don't have to go to Mongolia. You don't have to go to China. There's 155 nations there, 155 nations, just in one place. Amazing. Whatever country you are praying for, you can find people there. And just recently, just heard of another professor, visiting scholar. They come for 1 year, sent by their universities, and he just last Friday opened his life to Jesus Christ. He's going to go back to China to share the message of Christ. Praise the Lord. Acts 1:8, we hear God's strategy. These last words are also the most important words. The disciples really believe those words, and a few years later in the same generation, in Acts 17:6, the Jews who opposed Paul and his message complain, these people who have turned the world upside down have come here also. And so again, And as we go to Acts 8, we see God's strategy and how it works with 3 points. We look at God's messenger, Philip. We look at the method, and we look at the message. We have 3 points. God has a plan, and God has a plan for us. And God has a plan for all these people that come around us and come to our country. I can give you many examples of how this strategy works. And today, through people that have been led to Christ, they're back in their country, starting Bible studies, leading people to Christ, leading their families. I can give you so many examples. We have printed a couple of books on them. And that's why my wife and I have been able to visit many of these people in Japan and Thailand and China, because they are the ones that were touched by God's love through God's people right here. But today we have somebody, a special guest, but she also goes to the Mandarin service here. And I'm not translating because I don't know Mandarin. Last week I spoke Mandarin in a Chinese church. No, they translated. But Faye is here today, and I just asked her to share just the impact and how God came into her life. Faye, come on up. Let's welcome her. Where's the mic? Where's the mic for you? There you are. Thank you. You can use this just in case you're nervous.
Thank you.
This is the first time she's sharing, right? Publicly.
Good morning, everyone. My name's Faye. I'm an international student from Shanghai, China. I came to Canada 4 years ago, and my family followed me to Canada half a year later. I have a family of four. I have my parents and my 9-year-old sister. Now I'm taking optician program in Douglas College.
You see these glasses? She gave them to me last year. Thank you so much.
I didn't have any religion back in China, but I was more like a Buddhist. But when I came to Canada, I went to a private Christian high school, and then attended Focus Club at Douglas College, where I started to know who God is. One day, a Chinese girl talked to me when I walked to my class on campus. She asked me if I was an international student, and I said yes. Then she introduced Focus Club to me. It was a great opportunity to have fun, have some nice food, and meet people. I was not a social person, and I'm still not, but I would like to have some friends on campus. I received so much love and help from Focus Club. It is where I met Bert, this lovely and caring gentleman. Now I look back, I can see God's grace all along my life, no matter where I was. When I knew more and more about Christianity, I realized that I was sinful, and my relationship back then contaminated my body and my spirit, and I desperately wanted to have a pure life. I couldn't do it by myself because I was so weak, and I knew Jesus was the one and only I could rely on. The Lord knew my thoughts, and He prepared me with a new job where I met my fiancé, Ray. He is the manager at the restaurant where I have been working, and he trained me when I started there last year. He also came from Shanghai, and he is a believer. He is very patient, caring, and mature. Everything about him was so attractive to me, and I couldn't help falling into love with him, but secretly. I prayed one night. I said, "Lord, I'm really, really into Ray. What can I do?" And God gave me the courage to say goodbye to my previous terribly sinful life. It was tough to leave the sinful but seductive life, but I knew I had made a correct decision because the Lord would give me the best as He thinks. I was still a little depressed after breakup. Ray was there for me, and he gave me a book named A Young Woman After God's Own Heart to encourage me. I think it was the very first time I truly opened my life to Jesus as my Savior and decided to follow Him. I read the book eagerly. Literally, after a week, I was recovered from my depression, and I felt I was like a new person. I appreciate God's healing power and also support from my family and friends. Ray and I became good friends, and we shared our thoughts regarding some verses in the Bible. I knew Ray had been waiting for the Lord to give him a girl who would share the same mindset with him for 3 years. I desperately wanted to tell him that I have feeling for him, but God stopped me when I was reading Songs of Songs. One verse kept showing up. do not arouse or awaken love until its soul desires. I knew it was God's plan, so that I decided to wait. I started to have a habit of reading the Bible every day, come here for Sunday Mandarin service, and go for a young adult fellowship. After a while, Ray said he felt so close to me when we discussed the Bible and asked me if I would like to read a book with him so that we could have the same mindset. I knew it was the book that changed his character entirely. I didn't even think, and then I said yes. I couldn't believe that God gave me this precious man in my life. Ray and I will be baptized here this coming Christmas and getting married next year. I think being loved by God is the best thing ever. Thank you all for your prayers. Thank you.
There you have it, a salvation story and a love story, all packed into one. And I just wish her the best, and Ray, as they work toward their future. And she brought her mom and her daughter here this morning for the very first time coming to church. This is God's work. Does this encourage you? Does this encourage you to see, to pray, and to work in this direction, to see God's work go all out over the world? So this morning, just for a few minutes, and we only have a few minutes, we want to share 3 points. First of all, we look at the messenger. The messenger, should be motivated by this guy called Philip. Why should we be motivated by Philip? Because God uses ordinary people who have an extraordinary God. Philip didn't start as a preacher. He didn't go to seminary. He didn't have any theological training. He had no experience, but he had the most important qualifications. And he needed those just to serve food and to help two groups of women that couldn't get along and were complaining against each other. And so that was Philip. And, you know, food is so important. In that society, it was going to split the church. And for international students, food is one of the most important things. And, you know, this week again, even last night, my wife cooks these great dinners. And I thank God for her, and I thank God for all of you that have had a part in hospitality. Open your homes. Faye has experienced that, right? The hospitality of Lois and others. And so it means so much to have food. So thank you for thank you from the bottom of my heart for so many churches that are involved in that. So that is what Philip was originally chosen for. The first point, just a few points there. Philip was full of the Holy Spirit. When he was asked to help with the hospitality, they chose 7 people to serve God, but no matter how small the task, we need to be filled with the Spirit. Nothing happens in God's kingdom without the Holy Spirit and without the filling of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5 says, it's a command. We are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I need that every day. I need to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. Billy Graham once said, I don't care how you get it, just get it. And then people complained to Moody because he was talking about people to get filled with the Holy Spirit all the time. Be filled, be filled. People said, why are you talking about that all the time? He says, because I leak. I leak. We sang the song, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Fits right in. We're prone to wander. We're prone to lose our focus. We're prone to take our eyes away from Jesus. Philip was also full of wisdom. We need wisdom to reach a pagan world and to know how to share God's message. And of God, we need wisdom. I needed wisdom when I first started working with international students. I didn't know how I would ever reach them. And I certainly didn't know anything about business or computer science, or I couldn't even turn on the computer. What could I give to these students? I could give love. I could give love. I can show them I care about them. I could teach them actually how to ski. They didn't know anything about that. We need wisdom, and God will give us wisdom if we ask him to say the right words, to go to the right place. Philip was available. He was adaptable. The third point. So that Philip was one day serving tables. The next day he was going to Samaria, next door, where most of the Jews would not care to have any dealings with these people. And there Philip is preaching the gospel. Then a few days later, God says, go to the desert, and you'll meet somebody from a strange country. He probably didn't speak Ethiopian, didn't know how to reach that guy. This guy is high up in the government. But Philip was willing. He was flexible. I always say people that work with in serving God need to be fat, flexible, adaptable, teachable. So going So Philip was, I was willing to go to India, to the university, to the prisons, wherever God led me. Philip was obedient to the Spirit. He was led by God. Certainly you needed to be led by God to go to Samaria and going to the desert. He was listening to God. He didn't ask questions. He just obeyed. He just obeyed. Then Philip, he was bold and brave. He ran. 2 Timothy, Acts 8:30, he said he ran to the chariot. He got to stop that guy. He was running pretty fast. But God gave him that energy. He was bold and brave. Instead of us being God's chosen people, sometimes we have become God's frozen people. What's stopping you from sharing the gospel? Philip was also filled with compassion. And I believe he got that from Jesus. Jesus was filled with compassion. And when they complained about these people preaching and sharing the gospel, you know what the people said, the people who opposed them? We noticed that these people have been with Jesus. Philip had been with Jesus. And that's what we need. And if we need more people like Philip that will impact people around us everywhere we go. That's our secret, being with Jesus. And when students ask me or people that come to our home, why are you doing this? And then I went to the airport this week to pick up Helen's husband, David, who's just arrived from Beijing, also for coming for baptism. And they're going to get baptized together next week, right here. Isn't that exciting? So people will say, why are you doing this? And I can say, I'm trusted. I have God's love in my heart for them. And then we have to model the methods. There's a couple more points. And what are the methods of God? In God's strategy, there are many methods. God is not limited to one method. We have the latest technology. We have the latest communications, promotional techniques. But you know, the thing that I think we see here is that God is preparing people. He's preparing people. God can use technology. I even got forced into getting an iPhone 6. My son gave it to me the other day. You know, I was able to send emails because I was working with international students because my son gave me an iPad. He thought his dad should get into the 21st century. So I know how to use these things now for God's glory. But if we depend on them, then it's not going to be helpful. To depend on God's methods. First of all, preparation by God. Prepare us, Lord. Prepare the people that we are reaching. Billy Graham Crusade Festival of Hope is coming here next year. Hundreds of churches are involved in that. We're praying that God will touch people so that Vancouver will be touched with God's love. If you want to be involved with the training, it starts this month to be counselors and to help equip. I need to be prepared. God prepared me in India to reach international students in Vancouver. And so preparation of God, that's God's great method. Another one is the purpose and plan of God is being followed. Starts in Jerusalem. It starts right around you. Neighbors are around you. I have a hot tub strategy. And I'm in the hot tub. People can't say they have no time. So I get to talk to them. So there was a lady that came to this church one day, and she said, oh, I'm so happy to meet you. I said, I don't know you. She said, yes, you did. I said, I don't recognize you. She said, you met me in the hot tub. I said, great, great. She was dressed a little different. I can't recognize. Plus, I'm getting older. Then the last thing about the purpose of God is being followed. In fact, the fact God had to send persecution to get his plan out there because they were all stuck in Jerusalem. And when persecution came, all started to go out into Samaria and other parts of the world. God can even use persecution. God uses the fact that even these refugees in Syria, bringing them to Canada so they can discover God's love. I believe that with all my heart. God creates this chaos so thousands of people are now coming to Christ in the Middle East. Then lastly, my last point is we see the power of God in verse 5 to 17 in Samaria where people are so attracted to God because of the power of God. And then the last point I have this morning is the message. The message is so important. What's the message? It's the good news. The good news of Jesus. And there is conviction there. There is conversion there. There is confession. All these things are happening as this person is being transformed so that he can go back to Ethiopia and touch the touch the nation of Ethiopia. And that actually did happen. The history of Christianity started with this man. So God used one man to touch Philip, and that Philip touched that man, and that man touched the nation of Ethiopia. The message of God is so important. There is the goodness of the good news. How good is it? It's a matter of life or death. It's a matter of eternal joy or eternal sorrow. What we give up now is nothing compared to spreading the good news. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? How much do you believe that? When we hear good news, we like to tell people, just think of those refugees when they're coming here, when they get the news that they finally can come. Boy, that's good news for them. They're so excited. When my parents finally decided to immigrate to Canada when I was 3 years old, I probably was rejoicing to get out of Holland because it was so crowded. I wanted more space. No, I was three. I didn't know what was happening in my life. But I'm sure for my parents, it was the best news ever when they came here. So what will it take? What I give up now is nothing compared to sharing and spreading the good news. I close with this illustration. It's a true story. In the days of the gold rush, there was a ship on Lake Erie that caught fire. It was trying to reach men and women, and there was great confusion. People were trying to escape. In that crowd was a California gold miner. He fastened his gold securely on it and was trying to swim ashore. You guys can come up and prepare for the last song. Okay. Just then a little girl in the crowd touched him and looked up into his face with great longing. Won't you please save me? I have no papa to save me. Won't you please? What would he do? He gave that belt of gold his life struggle one swift glance, but the little girl's soft touch, her voice and eyes strangely affected him. He could not save both. Which? All kinds of thoughts reached through his mind. He dropped his gold. He took the child and made the plunge into the water. He reached the shore utterly exhausted. He opened his eyes. There was a child standing over him with tears of gratitude flooding her eyes, and a human life never seemed quite so precious. He lost his gold, his years of toil, but he saved a life, and in saving it, he found a new life springing within him. Listen, there are voices calling, crying, will you help me? I have no one to help me. I need what you have. I have never heard this message before. I'm lonely. I need some friends. Like Faye shared, she needed friends. She was attracted to the Focus Club. The greatest message in the world, the good news, what will you sacrifice to give out this message to one soul this week? It will make the difference between life and death. Lord, use these words, this testimony that we heard this morning, and everything we've heard to respond to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
So this one last song that we're going to sing together as a response. It's called Shine, Jesus, Shine. You guys know that one, right? Sometimes we sing this song, we thought, oh, we ask Jesus, just shine on me, shine on me. But this song is actually talking about God shining on us so that we can be sent forth and be the light of this world. So, and asking of the Spirit to inspire us. So as you sing this song, remember that. And I just encourage you that, you know, our blessing is not for us just to keep, we to share it with, you know, the world that's in need. So let's rise together. Let's respond with this song. It's kind of funny that Brother Bird was just talking about not relying on technology. Yeah, I think it's because he couldn't see anything on the screen. And I couldn't see any of my lyrics on the screen. And my memory is, I'm getting old, so my memory is also fading. So you guys can help me out. You guys know this song, right? All right, here we go.
Of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Sinners, free by the truth, you now bring us. Oh,
God's blessing today. God the Father and God the Son who loved us so much, and God the Holy Spirit who empowers us and comforts us and gives us the fire to go forth, the power to go forth. May that this God be with you as you go into this world this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Brother Larry is coming up.